T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every now and then, we are lucky enough to get a former Virginia governor to join us, who a lot of people forget was a talk show host at WRVA for a while. Doug Wilder is with us this morning, and I'm pleased to welcome you here. How you feeling?
Well, I'm doing great, John, and it's good to be with you, and I'm glad you reminded people that I had a very fine sojourn at WRVA and enjoyed it. Great.
I used to listen to you, yeah, so I'm glad to have you on as a guest. Well, Governor, tell me what you're thinking will happen on Tuesday. The Democrats go to vote in the primary, and it's a crowded field. I mean, Terry McAuliffe was not successful at getting some of the young whippersnappers to step aside. They're still in this. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the crowded primary, while celebrated by some as a sign of the party's strength, has also created tensions among members of the state's black legislators, black state legislators, and but the majority of them gravitated toward going along with McAuliffe. The problem that, as I see it, is that the progressives, who have been particularly critical of McAuliffe on his criminal justice record and other sorts of things, unfortunately, have not come up with a candidate. And so everybody is all over the field. And I recall reading something, John, not long ago in Politico, and it was also authored by Larry Savage, who, as you know, very renowned and distinguished director of policy at University of Virginia. And he pretty much said that they are splitting up the minority vote and the more liberal leftist vote, and it's just making it almost impossible to beat McAuliffe. And then he concludes by saying they have pretty much condemned themselves to death.
By splitting that
I
vote.
I think that says it.
Yeah. By splitting that vote, there's no way they can get a candidate that will win.
Well, it's not just at that level. You go all the way on down. And to the lieutenant governor's race, you go to the attorney general's race, and look at the lack of unity. Look at the lack of bringing together an expressive voice on what? On the actual issues. Which of the candidates are discussing the issues today, John? I would ask you that. And to the extent of what are they saying differently than anyone else?
Yeah.
If McAuliffe, who was the governor 4 years ago, and he had as his attorney general Mark Herring, now saying that Mark Herring was no good. Obviously, he's not supporting it. And then you've got Ralph Northam, who has Herring being his attorney general. He's saying he's no good. Well, wait a minute. You mean the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Virginia has been no good for 8 years?
and that was their pick. That was the Democrat pick. They worked hand in hand with these people. Yeah.
But you're not going to get one of them to say it just like you and I have discussed it.
Well, you just wrote the Republican ad, didn't you?
Well, I'll say this. The unfortunate thing is that majority of these, well, you and I have had this discussion. No Democrat is going to win any election in Virginia without massive, strong support in the minority community, the African-American community. Now, we start off with that. But you can't take that vote for granted.
Right.
Nor can you take it for granted that a few people who say they are the leaders of that vote might not necessarily be able to deliver at election time in November.
Do you think that the plan for a Terry McAuliffe is, hey, let's dump Mark Herring, old white guy, and get Jay Jones in there as our nominee for attorney general, and that will motivate the African-American and minority vote? And if we have a Hala Ayala as the lieutenant governor's candidate, boy, that's like the super, we'll push the old white guy up to the top of the ticket on the backs of the minorities in lieutenant governor and an AG spot. Do you think that's the strategy?
I think that's a bit clever. That's a bit clever by one half.
Okay.
And I said for this reason, that notwithstanding you and I knowing about the two candidates for attorney general and actually for lieutenant governor, most Virginians don't know.
Right.
They don't know where they stand. They don't know what issues they stand on. They don't know what they've done. They don't know what their contributions have been. So I would be surprised to believe that you can. Now, it sounds good in lip service. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, we're supporting this person. They are not. And this goes back to the party. Who made these decisions to get behind these people or cause all of these people to jump in the race to fight each other? Someone had to make a decision for that to take place, or someone should have said, this cannot happen. You cannot win with division. The only way you can win with strength, if you're going to represent the kinds of people you said you want to do it. Everyone is taking credit for the Medicaid expansion or extension. Everybody. And yet, one vote broke the tie. Justin Fairfax, without his vote, it would not have happened. He gets no credit, takes no credit. They give him none. And he's a name that hasn't even been mentioned.
Well, that's true. That poor guy, he is. I don't know that it's fair the way he's been treated, but he's still in it. But
well, lots of times, John, you know, you're treated the way you allow yourself to be treated.
Hmm.
And you know that.
Yeah.
And I've gone through that time and time again when I was coming through the ranks, as some would say. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the people, listen to the people, make your case to the people will support you. And the people in Virginia, I know it, will support you. Because, as you know, they told me I was crazy.
That you couldn't run for lieutenant governor, you couldn't run for governor.
For both.
Yeah.
Well, you can't make it. Why? Because, you know, no, I don't know. And the people of Virginia supported me. And I this is why I get so upset when people start talking about what we have in Virginia. And I'll say this on your show, that if the Republican Party does not go to the wall relative to conservatism, or go to the far right, and if they show that they are interested in representing all people, you might have a contest in November. You just might have a contest.
It seems like that to me. Do you know Glenn Youngkin, the Republican nominee? Have you ever met him? Are you familiar with him?
He has called me.
Oh, he has.
We have talked, and I don't mind saying to you that I've told him the very same thing that I told you on this show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anyone believe that anybody's votes are already in the basket. Fight for those votes. Compete for those votes. And you might be surprised as to what you might find.
Yeah. We're talking to former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder here on the program this morning. And I do need to take a break, but let me ask you this before we pause, if you're willing to hang on. Do you...
Sure.
You mentioned it's a crowded field. And one of the things that I do admire about you, even though we're in different political parties, is you did work your way up to run for governor. I mean, nobody could say, hey, Doug Wyler is a minority hire here. We're just trying to play a racial politics. You were in the legislature for years and years and years. You earned every bruise and stripe there. You ran for lieutenant governor. You won. You earned your way to the governor's mansion here. And is it just me? And maybe I'm getting older and I look at some of these people and I think, well, wait a minute, 2 years in the House of Delegates, do you think you should be governor of Virginia? What's going on? Do you look at that way too?
Or? 2 years, you're going, and that's going to be enough without you doing anything else for
right.
Attorney General? I mean, it goes down the line. You have to do some things. You have to work. You have to be a part of moving ahead. But you get elected to the House of Delegates and you resign your seat to run for governor? Somebody was there. Somebody has to get a hold of me because I must be losing my mind.
Right.
No, John, I think you're absolutely right. But people like to see you sweat. They like to see you work. They like to see you grind because if you're doing it for your opportunities, they know you will do it for them. But nobody's going to give you a thing. And I'll tell you, the people in Virginia are not going to give anybody anything. Earn it. They'll respect you and they'll vote for you.
Yeah. Well, your life is a testament to that, I have to say. I didn't ask you if you'd stay the whole. Will you stay for the whole, for the next section? Do you mind doing that?
I will be with you.
Okay.
I will be right here.
I'd like to ask you because some people have accused me of being really negative about the violence of last year, and I am. But one of the things I'm trying to mentally have a readjustment about is what's the future of Richmond? All right, last year happened. I'm upset about it, but I can sit here and fume, or I can try to find a way out. And I'm interested in your perspective on how we put last year and last summer in context and maybe save the city going forward. So if you'll hang on, we'll talk about that, if that's all right, when we come back.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir. All right. It's 9:18. We're talking to former Virginia Governor Doug Wyler here on News Radio WRVA. We have former Virginia Governor Doug Wyler on the program this morning, talking to him about handicapping the Democrat primary that's coming up on Tuesday. Governor Wyler, Jeff Katz, my colleague in the afternoon, just texted me and says, please tell Governor Wyler hi, and I will be taking my son Harry to vote in the Democrat primary. So that's got to kill Jeff that his kid wants to go vote in the Democrat primary.
Yeah. Well, Jeff and I talked about it. He said he doesn't know where he goes. He was wrong, but his son is going to vote in the primary. Well, tell him I said hi.
I will do that.
I like being on this show, too. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you know, the last, I've been ballistic since this time last year on the air about the violence in Richmond. It really has shocked me that reasonable people would allow protesters to behave night after night after night the way they did in Richmond. And I've had to have a talk with myself about, are you going to continue to fume every day about this, or are you going to try to find a way towards a better future for yourself? I mean, it's not healthy mentally, and it's not healthy for the city and for this community to be at odds like this. How do you put last year in context? As the first African-American governor in America in the modern era, and as the former mayor of Richmond and a lifelong Richmonder, how are you processing this, and what is the future, you think?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was asked by the United States Correctional Officers Association to speak at their national event in San Antonio, Texas, and I went there, was received as one, well, as one could be, and I said, made it very clear that we must have law and order in our society, and that I was one of those persons that was instrumental in establishing uniform training for our police. Mm-hmm. And no, there will be no defunding of the police if I had anything to do about it. And we instituted community policing. We had the police when I was mayor of the city of Richmond, living in the communities, crime went down. Our chief of police, Rodney Monroe, was one of the most respected police officers in the nation. Now, as you point out, the statutes are gone now. So what is it that you want done? And for people to believe that unrest must be tolerated by hooliganism and breaking the law? No. No society can exist if it is a lawless society. So I come down right strong in believing in law and order and regulations, and I don't care on which side you fall. If it's not going to be done orderly or in the fashion of the law, then it's wrong.
Does that message from someone like you just fall on deaf ears with the younger, not just the protesters, but the politicians, the modern era young politicians don't seem to share that sentiment, which I think is kind of surprising.
I think you'll find that the people do. And that's one of the problems that some of the politicians don't have. They don't know the people. They don't go into meet with the people. Only at election time. Only when it's time to raise some money. But all you got to do is read your daily reports. Look at what comes on your show or on the television. Who's being shot? Well, who is being victimized? Whose homes are being vandalized? And so the people have never rejected the police. The only thing they wanted is fairness with police. I want fairness with police. But this nonsense about, well, we're going to defund the police. And then who are you going to put in place to run and safeguard our society? No, it's not going to happen. And don't stop, John, in terms of believing that you're out of it. No, you're not out of it. You can manage the opportunities of having the law equitably enforced and equitably funded and making certain that you don't pay attention to the left or to the right, but pay attention to the people and what's in the best interest of the people. And that means all of the people in our society.
Former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder, whenever I hear you on Jeff's show or when you join me in the mornings, I just think, I mean, this, how have we gotten to this place? Because you make sense to me, and I just don't understand why I don't hear that from more politicians.
You're mighty kind, and I really enjoy being with you to continue to try to be a voice of reason and a voice for and of the people, and I really appreciate it.
Governor Wilder, thank you very much. You're welcome anytime. I appreciate it.
God bless you. Thank you, sir.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.